Things my mother taught me. My mother taught me logic. She said, if you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. She taught me about medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. She taught me to think ahead. If you don't pass your spelling test, you'll never get a good job. She taught me about ESP. Put your sweater on and don't think I don't know when you're cold. She taught me to meet a challenge. What were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't talk back to me. My mother taught me humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. She taught me to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. She taught me about sex. How do you think you got here? She taught me about genetics. You are just like your father. She taught me about my roots. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mom really did say that a lot, because I used to leave the back door open because she'd yell at me for slamming it. She taught me about the wisdom of age. She said, when you get to be my age, you'll understand. About anticipation, just wait until your father gets home. And man, I'm telling you, in my family, that was not a pleasant anticipation. She taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when your father gets home. And she taught me about my all-time favorite, justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see what it's like. How many times have we heard something like that in our lives? There are many more momisms, I am sure, that you can share with me. My mom had a whole passel of them, and I'm sure that you can remember them from growing up. I do have a mother. And, of course, she raised me in my formative years, and I'm prejudiced. I think she did a great job. My next experience about motherhood was being around a mother. Her name is Roxanne, who became the mother of our three sons. She told me when we got married that she would be happy. She wanted sons, and that was it. She wanted boys and not girls, and so that's what I gave her. There's a wonderful part of mothers, isn't there, that endears them to us all. Most of us who grew up with our mothers know intuitively that mothers are way softer than fathers. Not only do they feel softer, they act softer most of the time. They knew us better than we knew ourselves, and they made sure that we were well cared for. We call this part of them, and the part of the female gender, which they seem to have a great gift for. It is called nurturing. Mothers are the nurturers of families. Now, how does a nurturer participate in raising children? She wasn't born to be a father, and unfortunately today, there are many moms who are called upon to fill both roles. Of mother and father, but trying to be a father for a woman is very difficult. Who do you suppose that the Lord had in mind when he made the woman to be a nurturer by nature? What do you suppose that he wants her to do and become and be within the nurturing relationship of family? So I thought to myself, if moms are nurturers and that's what we're supposed to look at, then I'll look into the Scripture and I'll try to appeal to the Scriptures for my basis for what I have to say this morning. And I want you to know that there are many references about women in all aspects of life. There are few references that I could find that have to do with the role of women who are happy to be mothers, except obliquely, perhaps. And so I will appeal to the Scriptures this morning from the letter written to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be in both 1 and 2 Timothy this morning. So 2 Timothy chapter 1. And here I appeal to the Scriptures to make a point about mothers today. In the second letter written to Timothy, we find a reference by Paul to the lineage of the young man to whom this letter is written. His name is Timothy. He is a young evangelist. He is doing the work of evangelism. He is a missionary, much in the same way that the Apostle Paul was. It's interesting to note here that as Paul makes reference to Timothy's family background. He makes no reference to Timothy's father. Now, there's been a lot written, and all of you are probably aware of what's been written about this particular part of Scripture. Since Timothy's father is not mentioned, we take it to the worst possible case scenario that he was a Greek, that he didn't care about God, and so on and so forth. But apparently, all that we can say about Timothy's father is that he was either dead or missing. He's not in the family at this point in time. That's all we know, and that's all that we can say, I think, for sure. We also deduce the fact from other parts of Scripture that Timothy was part Greek and part Jewish. What role Timothy's father played in his upbringing isn't known. What we do know is that Timothy, and here's our point this morning, was well-nurtured. He was well-nurtured. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. Here the apostle writes to Timothy, and he says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of discipline." So here we see the truth of an old saying, perhaps. And the old saying goes something like this. Faith is not something that you teach. Faith is something that you catch. Faith is caught, not taught. Here we find there are people who are very instrumental in the life of this young man. And both of them are women. And both of them, I would submit to you this morning, are nurturers. They have nurtured the faith in this young man, Timothy. So for our perusal is a more than typical scenario. What appears to be a broken family is in view. It's either broken by the fact that Timothy's father left, as we said before, or that Timothy's father is dead. We're not sure how this goes, but it appears to be a broken family, and all that is in the family is a grandmother. You can see her there in the fifth verse. Lois, your grandmother, and then there's a mother whose name is Eunice, and then there's a son. There's no father in this family anywhere to be found. So if that happens to be your situation, I want you to know that there is hope for your children. That here in the Scripture we find that God recognizes the fact that all families are not, all built-in houses of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same. They are not. Families are different. We have to learn to struggle and work within whatever God has given to us. Here in the beginning of this letter, the Apostle Paul says that in a spiritual sense, God sent him into the life of Timothy so that he might fulfill a father role in a spiritual sense in Timothy's life. Go back to chapter 1 and verse 1 through 4, and look what it says there. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. Notice what the apostle says about Timothy. He says in verse 2, to Timothy, what are the next three words? My beloved son. I don't know what the relationship was like between Timothy and Paul, only what is written in the pages of Scripture. I know that Timothy has a special place in the heart of the apostle Paul. He calls him my beloved son. But even at that, please notice with me that in spite of the setback of no father in the home, this is not a home of spiritual laziness. This is not a family of dullards. This is not a family filled with self-pity where there is no sense of direction. It is apparently a family grounded on the Old Testament scriptures. Lois, the grandmother, took the time to teach her daughter when she was young. That has to be part of what we're thinking about here. This is a generational thing going on in this little broken family. The grandmother taught her daughter from the pages of the Old Testament. Eunice, the mother, took the time to teach her son as well. And not only that, but both the grandmother and the mother taught Timothy from the pages of the Old Testament. Perhaps in their mind was the passage of Scripture in the Proverbs that says, "Train a child up in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Possibly that was in their minds. Possibly they knew the Scripture that well. Because as we continue this morning, you'll see that more reference is made to the fact that Timothy is well versed in the Scriptures, the pages of the Old Testament. The apostle calls them the sacred writings, but those sacred writings are there and used by Lois and used by Eunice to nurture their child, Timothy, their grandchild and her child. They use the Scriptures to nurture the spiritual growth of their child. So in his home, Timothy learned firsthand the model of godliness from his grandmother and from his mother. He learned from the Old Testament, the sacred writings as Paul refers to them, and he learns the direction of godly examples and the direction of godly principles as he watches his mother and his grandmother live in front of him in a godly way and explain to him why they live the way they do from the Scriptures, from God's Word. Now, if you turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, there's more to be found here in this particular epistle. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look with me beginning at verse 14. And here again, an appeal is made, and an appeal made to the way he had been raised and the way he had grown up in his family. Beginning at verse 14, 2 Timothy 3:14. "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." It's almost like Paul, in remembering his own training and his own background in the Old Testament, reminds Timothy from the words of the Lord, perhaps even from Joshua. If you go to Joshua chapter 1, it's kind of fascinating how similar these two pieces of Scripture are. In Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 7, you recall Joshua is about to pass into the promised land. He is the new leader. Moses has now passed away. Joshua is giving a charge, if you will, and God talks to him, and he says this in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And notice with me how similar these two passages of Scripture are. "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Do you see the kinds of teaching that could come out of the Old Testament to a young heart, a young Timothy, through his grandmother and through his mother? The apostle reiterates that, I think, when he says, "You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you all the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And then he makes the point, Timothy, the things you learned in the Old Testament, that Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. So even for us today, it would be incorrect for us to study only the New Testament. It is also incumbent upon us to study all Scripture which is inspired by God, God-breathed. All of it comes from God. All of it is useful, and it is useful for what? for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And here is an example of at least two women and a man who draws alongside as a father figure into the family that Timothy was raised from. Well, moms, please take a lesson from your mothers in the faith. For all of these people who have gone before us are, in fact, our mothers and our fathers in a spiritual sense. They are found in the pages of Scriptures, and if you read Hebrews as an example, you see that whole list in 11 about all those folks who saw by faith what was coming, and they lived according to what God wanted them to do. Here in this family in which Timothy is raised, God is present. He is present in His Word, and He is present in the lives of these faithful mothers and a grandmother, a mother and a grandmother, who raised Timothy in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So, I only have three things that I want to tell you this morning, ladies. Me, who has absolutely no idea what it means to be a mother, seems kind of odd, doesn't it? I asked my wife if she wanted to preach this morning, and she said, no, last week was enough. So she likes to preach to me when I get home, but not in front of you. There are three things, moms, that I want you to remember about what you ought to be doing as far as being a mom is concerned. The first thing is, according to what we've read this morning, fulfill your role as a nurturer. Nurturing comes natural to you. Be a nurturer. And I would say to you ladies, even if you are not a mother, that this applies to you as well. You have a nurturing spirit, acting out in some way the role that the Holy Spirit takes. If you think about it, isn't the Holy Spirit, in fact, a nurturer? Don't the Scriptures say that He draws alongside to help in time of need? Isn't that what the word parakletos means? It does. God sends Him the third person of the Trinity to come and inside of your life and to minister to you and to nurture you in the ways of God. You are called alongside to help your children as they need you. And by the way, that's probably many times a day, many days of the week, many weeks of the month, many months of the year. Even grandmothers, when they leave and go be with their wives or their husbands, they still need to see a steady, godly influence no matter what. No matter what. Raising children up in these days in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord in a loving environment takes creativity and it takes a sense of direction. I would remind you, moms, of this passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 21. It says, "My spirit which is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever." What's the important focus here? To nurture your children and raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So, fulfill your role as a nurturer. The second thing that I came away with from this particular passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy is this, that what you have here not only is the nurturing aspect of it, but there is an exemplary aspect of it. So, fulfill your role as an example. It does you no good just to preach. It does you no good just to teach your child. You must be an example, much like Eunice and Lois, who were examples to Timothy. They saw the examples. The things, Paul says, you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. The assumption there is that you got this from a good reporter. You got this from someone who lived out the truth that they taught you from the Scriptures, from the pages of the Old Testament. So moms, give your children the role model, that's our modern psychobabble term. Give your children the role model of a person who trusts God, in any and all and every circumstance of your life. I would submit to you that it was not easy for Lois and Eunice to trust the Lord in the circumstance in which they found themselves. They were two women alone in a very difficult world. For a woman in that particular time and age, it was extremely difficult to be a wife, to be a mother, and to be without a husband who had either died or left. It was almost impossible. It wasn't easy for Eunice and Lois, and it doesn't necessarily mean because you come to Christ that it will be easy for you either. God does not guarantee you swift, easy travel, smooth roads, wide, and needing no guide, I think the song used to say. Paul says in the letter, in this letter, as you read through 2 Timothy, he says, difficult times will come. Well, I would submit to you that for Eunice and Lois, difficult times were already there. They were two women alone raising a child in a very hostile environment. And yet, it seems that they were successful in what God called them to do. And so, being a godly example these days is not easy. It's not a piece of cake. But all I have to say is this: do it, do it, and do it well, and do it always. Do it always. Now, what encouragement do we get from Scripture? Well, I thought about Hebrews 12 as an example, verses 1 and 2. You all know that by heart, right? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, I think that that's what this Scripture draws us to, does it not? I go back and I say, well, what does it mean, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses? Well, it's Eunice and Lois. That's the witness of Scripture. These are people that went through it already. These are people that have faced difficult situations and trials raising their child. And since you have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding you, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I would submit to you that our Lord also came from a family whose father was gone. The family Joseph was gone by the time Jesus was an adult. So, fulfill your role as a nurturer, fulfill your role as an example. The third observation that I make this morning is my final one. Fulfill your role as a guide. Nurturer, example, guide. Moms, the Scripture, as you know, and I know you know this, so in some ways I think I'm preaching to the choir, but in other ways it doesn't hurt to be reminded. The Scripture is full of the wisdom of God. It is not the wisdom of men. Why does it work the way it works? All I know is that it does. The Scripture is full of the wisdom of God. There is not a better place to train yourself in the disciplines of the godly life and the godly character and the godly lifestyle. There is no better place. All the books in the world, I don't care who wrote them or where they came from, are only poor examples at commenting on what the Scripture teaches. Immerse yourselves in the Word of God. And when you do immerse yourself in the Word of God, you will be fit to be the person who can guide her children into faith. I would submit to you that there is not a better resource. There is not a better author. There is not a better book. There's not a better pamphlet. There's not a better guide than the resource of God's Word to train your children in righteousness. What did the Scripture say as Joshua begins to go into the promised land? What is it that the Scripture says that God says to Joshua, and He says it to you today? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Ladies, I think that's a wonderful thing. God has asked you to nurture, to be an example, to be a guide. And He says, I don't just tell you what I want you to do. The Spirit of God comes alongside of you and helps you to do it. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for this day and for this word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that as these ladies who are moms think about these things, that you would encourage them, Lord, to take on the role as the Holy Spirit takes on, to nurture their children. It is a natural function, after all, and one in which women are very successful. Help them, Heavenly Father, to be an example. As they look at the Scripture themselves, I pray, Lord, that you would help them and strengthen them to be godly role models for their children. And Lord, as they turn to their children, help them, each one, to be a guide